I like our next guest. I don't like his favorite topic, life insurance. Not because it makes me think of my own mortality. I'm going to live forever. But because it's complicated and it's about minimizing downside risk versus optimizing upside opportunity. But it's really important, so we have to talk about it. So we're doing the interview, and I'm going to treat myself to a brownie afterwards as a reward. How's that? Lauren Marr is here to navigate the different types of life insurance policies out there. He is the Director of Business Development at LSM Insurance. Hi there, Lauren.
Hey, Bruce.
How was that for an introduction? I hope I didn't insult you in any way.
No, it was good.
Phew. You published a very simple chart about life insurance, which is why you're here today. The very first classification on this chart that was on your site is about the length of coverage. And this seems to start here, term life versus permanent life. Tell us the difference.
Well, I think that's where it kind of starts. Is there's two types of life insurance, term and permanent. So the term, The coverage is for a temporary period of time, and the rates start off lower, and then they go up as you get older. And then the permanent, the rates generally are level for life, but start off higher, and the coverage stays with you for life. Now, within each of those categories, there are subcategories, and we can talk about that more. Yeah. Like, for example, a term policy has a 10-year term, 20-year term, et cetera, and then there are subcategories for the permanent as well.
I am a big believer in life insurance as a product, in particular for anyone who has children, and largely because its original intention was to protect against calamity. And that's fundamentally the purpose of it. I'm not a big fan in general for insurance as a part of an investment portfolio, though I know it works for some people, and for some people it's tax planning. For whom is a permanent life policy a good fit, broadly speaking?
Yeah, so a permanent policy can be a good fit in a few instances. One, it can be a good fit for someone who wants to look at estate planning. An example might be, someone that has like a family cottage that they want to pass on to their children, could trigger a large capital gain, so they can do a permanent type plan that where it can either pay out on the passing of one person, or they have something called a last to die type policy where it pays out on the second spouse passing away, because that's when most of the tax would be triggered in terms of something like that. It could be good for a family business, someone who wants to do any type of charitable giving, someone who may just want to increase the value of their overall estate with a secure asset, may want to look at adding some permanent life insurance. Some people without a lot of assets may want to look at having something for final expenses. So those are a few examples of where permanent life insurance might be a fit.
We talk about fees on this program in all different categories of people's financial life because it's super important for things to be transparent. How much does an insurance broker make on a term policy versus on a permanent policy? What's the simple way, and I know it's tough, but what is the simplest way to do an apples to apples? And it's important because I think that could color the recommendation that a broker might make.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, keep in mind, definitely on there's two things that are going to impact the commission rate on a policy. And the first is the size of the premium. So the size of the premium on a term policy is going to be much less for a given amount of coverage than the size of premium on a permanent policy. So that's the first variable. The second variable is what they call like a first-year commission rate. And generally, with most permanent policies, it's higher than on term policies. There are some exceptions to that. The first year commission rate may be lower on a term 100 type policy, which falls under that permanent classification where the rates are level for life, but there's no cash values. But one thing to keep in mind with the commission rate is that if you do, for example, a 10-year term and you need the insurance for 30 years or even longer, you may decide to start. You need it for 10 years, and then you may need it for a lifetime, depending on what your needs are. So the commission would be paying out each time you take out a new term policy, or if you start off with a term policy and convert it down the road. Whereas with a permanent policy, there's basically the needs, you're covering that cost one time, or you're paying that commission one time, because you're only buying the policy once if you keep it.
Who makes more money, the person who deals, the broker that deals exclusively in term or the broker that deals exclusively in permanent policies?
Well, I guess, I mean, the way I'd answer that is a broker, a good broker, wouldn't deal exclusively in either.
No, I know that. Really, the question you haven't answered that I'm trying to get to is from a broker's standpoint.
If you're selling just the term, you're going to make less. There's no question. But to keep in mind that, you know, if you sell someone a term down the road, there's a good chance they're either going to want a new term or a permanent. So if you were to look at someone who just sold term or just sold permanent, they'd make less if they sold just term or more if they sold permanent. Although either one probably wouldn't sell that much life insurance because they wouldn't be doing a full picture plan.
Yeah, and I know that everyone needs to, you know, address the needs of the client and all that stuff. In the investing space, there is a big difference between selling an exchange-traded fund and selling a high-fee Canadian equity fund. And there are reasons to do so, but it's an important part of the financial mosaic.
Yeah, I agree. Although this would be maybe a little bit different because both of those funds would potentially cover a specific requirement, whereas one policy may not cover a specific requirement on the life insurance side. So that's may not be an apple to apple comparison, but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, and there is no simple comparison. I just want to just include that.
Sure.
And if someone's engaging with their brokers, the awesome brokers out there will say, "Here's the deal. Here's how my commission works, and here's how the commission would work if I sell you that other product. All good. Want to make sure it's going to work for you, and you move on. It's good.
Yeah,
you can also classify life insurance by medical exam requirements. What are some of the options out there?
Yeah, so there's been a shift in the industry the last few years towards simplified issue type policies. And traditionally, you know, you'd have your fully underwritten plans where there's a medical, nurse comes to see you, they ask a whole list of health questions. And then there was a simplified issue or no medical type policies. Those no medical type policies were really, if you look back 5 or 10 years ago, they were just for the hard-to-insure market, but, you know, people with serious health issues. But in recent years, more companies have gone to simplified issue even for healthy individuals. And there seems to be a shift, especially among some younger people who don't want all the hassles of having to meet with a nurse, having to, you know, wait a long time for their insurance. A lot of those people are going the way of simplified issue policies. And in some instances, there's only a small difference in the premium between, say, you know, a $500,000 Term 20 fully underwritten policy and a $500,000 Term 20 simplified issue policy. There might only be a difference of, you know, $2 a month. And some people may not, you know, want to go through those extra hoops
Interesting.
To potentially save that money.
Really appreciate your time, Lauren. We could talk about this for another hour, but I'm afraid that is an hour that we do not have today.
Okay, great. Well, it's my pleasure talking to you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Lauren Mars, Director of Business Development at LSM Insurance.